We'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high and our ushers will be glad to bring you one. If you're using the Pew Bible, the page number is 375. It's at the top of the handout as it is each week. Page 375 will take you to 2 Samuel 19. Now, hopefully, all of you in here remember from last Sunday the context of this chapter. And that is King David is returning after having been dethroned. There had been a rebellion against the king. His own son, Absalom, led the rebellion. His own son tried to kill his dad. His dad had to leave, had to flee into the wilderness. And now King David's armies have defeated Absalom's armies. Absalom's dead. It is now time for the king to return to the throne of his kingdom. Look with me at 2 Samuel 19, verse 15. Would everybody say the first four words with me? Let's say it together. So the king returned. The king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to, notice what? Meet the king. Meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. You know, in your handout, everybody will look at your handout, it says in so many ways, King David in the Old Testament is a picture of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He's a picture, he's a shadow. I want all of you to think about something with me for a moment. Due to earthly rebellion of his own flesh and blood, his own son. Due to rebellion from his own flesh and blood, King David is forced to have to go into temporary exile out into the wilderness, but ultimately he returns in triumph. Think about this. King Jesus came to this earth. He presented himself as the king, the Messiah, to his own flesh and blood people, the nation of Israel, and his own flesh and blood, like David, turned on him. He was rejected. They said, "We don't want him. He's not our king." Gentiles said, "Well, we don't want him. We got Caesar. He's not our king." And so this king goes away, Jesus Christ, into temporary exile into the heavens. But like David, one day the king is going to ultimately return to this earth in triumph. Just like David, King David, King Jesus is going to return to the earth. He's going to return to Jerusalem like David. And he's going to sit on the throne of his glory, and he's going to dwell in the fullness of his glory and his kingdom. We saw all that last week. And you remember when you came in last week, I gave all of you a little half-page size chart that kind of lays out a basic timeline for you, and we'll bring it up on the PowerPoint screen again. I gave y'all a copy of this last week so you could kind of paste it in your Bible and have it. And the basic timeline, you notice Jesus Christ here died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, what did Christ do? He rose again. Well, the world didn't want him, so Christ goes away. He ascends into the heavens. You see the line go up, where he's now in temporary exile as the king. Okay, one day the king is going to come back down here to the earth. See the arrow coming down? He comes and he returns back down to the earth, just like David returned. King Jesus will return. We call that event the what? Revelation, which means the king is going to reveal himself to the whole earth. He's going to reveal himself in power and great glory. All the kindreds of the earth will see him as he returns back down to the earth and is revealed. And he comes and he establishes his kingdom and sits on the throne of his kingdom like David here on this earth. Now, that's the return back down to the earth. At least 7 years before that, probably more than that, the king is going to make not a public return here. He's going to make a secret return for the people living in this yellow parentheses, this time of grace. This is where we are right now. And all those in this parenthesis time, this last 2,000 years since the cross work, all those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all of those who have been taken out of their sins and they've been placed in Christ, He is going to make a secret return for His children. And the Bible says He's going to return here in the heavens, not down here to the earth. He's going to return in the heavens. And then all those who have been saved for the past 2,000 years in that yellow parentheses, they are going to be caught up. We call that event the what? Rapture, because we're caught up. We're raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. And so the King is going to return. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any way for us to be able to read signs and so forth? And is there any way for us to be able to know the day or the hour or the year when Christ is going to return in this event called the rapture? Is there any way for us to know when that event's going to happen? No, we learned last week there's no way to know. It's imminent. That means it could happen at any moment. It's the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Before I finish this message, Christ could come back. He could make that secret return in the heavens to catch away all those who know Him. And so, you see, there's a secret return here, a public return here. But the bottom line is this, and this is what you need to know, that the King is returning. He's returning. He's been sent away right now in temporary exile. The earth said, we don't want Him. Well, He's been pouring out His grace instead of His wrath. And one day, though, that grace period will end. The wrath is going to come on this earth. And when He returns, those who know Him will go up. Those who don't know Christ will be left behind to incur wrath in this tribulation time period. When He comes back here at the rapture, is there going to be time for people to say, oh, wow, Jesus is the King. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He did die for my sins. I've changed my mind. I want to accept Him and go up at the rapture. Is there time for that? Won't be any time. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. People won't even see it occur. It's going to happen so fast. Are you ready for His return? There are, as we look at King David's return, there are three people I want to point out to you. And from these three people, I want to teach you from this book how you can be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Number one in your handout. Let me give you the first one. Number one, if you want to be ready for His return, number one, you must possess an attitude of humility and repentance. Possess an attitude of humility and repentance. Now look up here after you write that in. As King David returns to his throne, the first person that runs out to meet him is a character by the name of Shimeah. Look at verse 16. It says here, and Shimeah, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah, notice, to meet King David. When it says he hasted, that means he ran. And so, I mean, the king is coming back, and this guy, Shimeah, he comes running to meet the king. Now, does anybody remember this guy, Shimeah? Now, I preached on him a couple of months ago, so I know all of you in here remember everything about that, right? You all are like, got it. In case you don't got it, I'll remind you. Shimeah, when King David was fleeing from Jerusalem for his life because of the rebellion, when King David was down and out, looked like he was down and out, this guy Shimeah comes out of the woodwork like a cockroach, and this guy comes out of the woodwork and he begins to curse and swear at King David. He curses him up and down. He takes rocks and throws them at David, the king. He kicks up dirt and dust and totally disrespects King David. He commits treason against the king. Now the king's coming back. So Shimeah comes, runs out, comes and humbles himself in repentance before the king. What do you think he's going to say to the king? Look at verse 18. It shows you what he says. Verse 18, is this what you would have done? Look at verse 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimeah, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. I mean, this guy comes running. He falls down before David and he says, David, listen, man, I messed up. I blew it. What I did was wrong. I've sinned against you, and I am humbling myself before you. And I'm asking you, man, please, king, don't take it to your heart. And know that I've changed my mind, I've repented, and I don't want that to be identified with that anymore. And he comes and just completely throws himself at the mercy of the king. What would King David do? What would you do? There's his head rolling. Is that what you would do? Look what King David did. Look at verse 23. Therefore the king said unto Shimeah, thou shalt not what? Die. Now you understand the man deserved to die? He committed treason, which back then was a capital offense. He, because of his repentance and his humility, he was spared from death. He was delivered from the wrath of the king. Some of you may be in here and you may be thinking, but this guy deserved to die. And he did. He did. But because of his humility and repentance, in your handout, it says he was spared from death and given life. Now, before we're too quick to pick up stones and throw them at Shimeah, I want to remind you in here, all of us were in the same boat that Shimeah was in. You say, whoa, what are you talking about? In your handout it says, we deserve death because we have offended not an earthly king, we have offended the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. You say, what? I have? Look in your handout, Romans 3:23. What does the verse say in your handout? For all have sinned. And then look at this. It says here that we've all come what? Short of the glory of God. How many of us have come up short of God's holy standard? How many of us? All of us. All of us have come up short. In your handout, look at the next verse. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Notice what God's law proves. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. How many of us in here are guilty before God? All of us. And you just take the Ten Commandments and apply it to your life. See how you measure up. A lot of people think they're pretty good till they take God's law, apply it to their life. You ever lied? How many times do I got to kill somebody to be a murderer? Just once. How many times do I got to lie to be a liar? Once. You ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Or borrowed something and didn't return it? Do you know what that's called in the Bible? Stealing. Do you know one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not steal? How many times do I got to steal to be a thief? One of the Ten Commandments is to never take God's name, which include God, Lord, Jesus, and use it in vain. You ever taken His name and used it loosely? That's one of the Ten Commandments. There's not a one of us in here who haven't committed unholy actions, unrighteous thoughts, ungodly conduct. There's not one of us. But I got good news. That's where you're supposed to smile. There's good news. You say, well, what's the good news? In your handout, it says, like Shimeah, we too can be saved from the wrath of the king. How's that sound, huh? We can be saved from the wrath of the king. You say, well, how? I've sinned. How? I've sinned against the King of Kings. How can I be saved from His wrath? Let me bring up on the screen a great verse. It says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, what did Christ do? He died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we, look at this, we shall be saved from what? Wrath. How do I get saved from His wrath? What's the last two words? Through Him. Through Him. You say, how can I be saved from the wrath of God? Because the King Himself took the punishment that you and I deserve. The King Himself took the penalty that we deserve. And He took that penalty and He paid it for us. He took our punishment for us. He died for us. The death I deserve, He died. Can you imagine if one of my sons, I have a 12 and 14-year-old sons, can you imagine if one of my sons got in trouble? I know you can imagine that. All right, so, and they get in trouble, and I have to, as the father, execute punishment. And so I hand down the sentence, and here's the punishment, okay? And then his brother, my other son, comes up to me and says, Father? And I say, yes. And he says, I love my brother, and I do not want him to have to suffer this punishment. Therefore, I am asking that you inflict this punishment on me instead. Now, that has never happened. Nor do I anticipate that happening. But did you know that's what Christ did for you and I? We deserve death, and Christ said, I'll die for them. We can be saved from wrath through Him. And at the very moment that you trust Jesus Christ, the very moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then all your sins are paid for by Christ, and all of His righteousness is given to you. God no longer sees you in your sins. He sees you in His Son, Jesus Christ. As Shimeah stood before the king, do you know what David's generals, you know what he said? Look down at verse 21. Notice what David's general, what he said about the situation. Verse 21. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, now he's one of the military generals, he answered and said, shall not Shimeah be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed. Abishai says, this guy's got to die. This guy's got to go. He committed treason, David. He disgraced you. And this man's got to die. Period. And I thought, what a picture of Satan. What a picture of the devil. The devil looks at me and says, Dan Proctor, look at all that he's done. He's got to go. He's got to die. He deserves death. He deserves to go to hell. You know that expression the world uses? Go to hell. You know, do you understand that expression, go to hell, perfectly articulates the mind and heart of Satan? You know, there's a scripture in Ephesians 2 that talks about how people in the world are filled with the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, Satan. And when a person says go to hell, they could not be acting any more like Satan when they say that. That articulates the mind and heart of Satan, because that's exactly what he wants. He looks at me and he points to all my sin. He points to all the things that I've done wrong. And he says he should go to the same place I'm ultimately going to go. And that's when God says, yes, Dan Proctor does deserve death. Yes, he has done wicked deeds. But he has accepted what my son did for him. And the blood of my son, Jesus Christ, has been applied. And he is forgiven. And if you're saved today, praise God, you're forgiven. Amen? In your handout are a couple of verses there. I want you to look at it at the bottom of your handout. The Bible says that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of, does anybody know what that blank is? Sins. Let's bring it up on the screen. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, what He did on the cross, even the forgiveness of sins. If you go turn your handout over, there's another great verse. It says there, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that was the position we were in, hath He quickened together, made alive with Him, with Christ. And then look at this. This is the result. Having forgiven you, do y'all know what that blank is right there? All trespasses. He has forgiven you all your sins. Can I be honest with you this morning? I would be lying to you to tell you that since I got saved, that there has not been days when Satan has really beat me up and tried to say, you're not saved. How could you be saved and do this? How could you be saved and do that? How could you be saved and think that or think this or that? And I got to tell you that the devil will try to take away from you the joy and the security of your salvation. And when that happens, okay, you can either let that defeat you and you can just kind of wallow in that and believe what Satan's telling you, or you can take some proactive action and you can go to a verse like this verse and you can say, you know what, Satan? Here's what you say, but here's what my God says. My God tells me that I have been forgiven all trespasses. I have the total and complete forgiveness of my sins through what Jesus Christ did for me. You want to be ready for the return of Christ today? I'm going to tell you how you get ready. You do what Shimeah did. You come and you humble yourself. You have a repentant heart. You just admit that you have sinned and messed up. You tell God, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He took my place. And I'm accepting what He did for me. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. I want the King to live in my heart. And you just humble yourself before Him. You repent of your sin. Just come and say, I am yours, God. And I've done wrong. I've messed up. I have sinned, like Shimeah said. But I want you to know I am trusting what your Son did for me. If you want to be ready for the return of Christ, humble yourself now. Repent now. Because once it happens, the rapture, at that point, you've missed the rapture. So you're left behind, and that's not going to change at that point. Because it's going to happen so fast, you're not going to have time to humble yourself and repent at that moment. It's going to be too late. So the time to do that is now. Number two is, if you want to be ready for the return of Christ, there's a second person I want to look at, and here's the principle we're going to learn. Live in anticipation of His coming. Every day you live in anticipation, listen, that Christ could come today. There's another man, stay with me now, because we're not going to get all the way through this, by the way, because I don't want y'all getting nervous on me out there, okay? We're going to get through a couple points here, and then I told the early crowd at 9:30 we're going to finish this up tonight in the evening service and get into some other good stuff. But number two, live in anticipation of His coming. I want you to look at a second character, and it's in verse 24. Would everybody look at that with me? It says, and it's a long name here, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. So a second guy comes to meet the king. His name is Mephibosheth. Y'all remember him? Again, I preached on that back in chapter 9. And that was probably months ago. But I know you guys well enough to know when I say Mephibosheth, you remember my whole message, don't you, from 6 months ago? And you remember everything I said. I'm being facetious. All right, so let's review. Mephibosheth is a crippled man, cannot walk. He was of the house of Saul, the former king. Normally, the new king kills the family of the old king. But instead, you remember David showed him kindness for Jonathan, his friend's sake. And you remember how that he restored to Mephibosheth all the land area that Saul had. And he said, Mephibosheth, you know what, buddy? You're going to come and eat at my table. And he was invited to live in the king's palace and eat at the king's table every single meal. Mephibosheth had a servant by the name of Ziba. Can y'all say that name? Ziba. Ziba. And Ziba, he was a character. Let me tell you, he was a conniving character. When David had to leave Jerusalem because of the rebellion, Ziba goes out to meet the king. He lies about his master, Mephibosheth. He incriminates Mephibosheth to David. It makes Mephibosheth look terrible. And he did it all for his own selfish gain. We learn in chapter 16. He succeeds in deceiving David. David didn't have a clue. He just believes the guy. And he ends up, his plot works, he gets all the inheritance of Mephibosheth for himself. Well, what I want you to know this morning is this, and it's in your handout. Mephibosheth was loyal to the king, and he lived in anticipation of the king's return. In fact, this is amazing right here. Look at verse 24. Let's read the rest of that verse. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Now look at this. Verse 24. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. You understand what that just said? David was gone for a long time from the throne, running around from Absalom. From the time David left the throne till the time he came back, Mephibosheth didn't shave. He didn't change his clothes. Now, folks, guess what? When you don't ever change your clothes, what does that mean? It means that he didn't take a bath. So this guy is ripe. He's ripe. I mean, this guy's ripe. This guy's crusty. All right? And this guy, this guy is a mess. All right? He's shaved his beard, and this guy looks terrible. But you understand something? This was an outward demonstration of his longing and his desire for the king to return. This was just an outward demonstration that, hey, I'm longing to see the king. I want to see the king. And I'm not shaving and I'm not changing my clothes and I'm not cleaning up until I get to see the king. Now look, I don't think you ought to imitate what he did. You know, and we would all appreciate it if you wouldn't imitate what he did. I mean, you know, I think you ought to take a bath. I really do. I think you should take a shower, bath, clean up, change your clothes, and so forth, right? And I don't think you need to imitate what he did. You know, and again, this is where you have to take the Bible in context. You know, some preacher gets up and says, you shouldn't take a bath. You know, and they base it on this verse. You know, you don't need to take a bath till Jesus comes back. Well, you know, we'll get you your own pew, right? Because he that stinketh in church must sit in his own pew. That's pretty good. Did you catch that, Rich? Did you write that down? He that stinketh in church must sit in his own pew. That's pretty good. So, I mean, you know, you need to take a bath and you need to stay clean. But listen, it's the heart of this man. That is the kind of heart that we're supposed to have towards our King, Jesus Christ. Mephibosheth's attitude was, you know what? Let Ziba have everything I've got. I don't give a rip. I don't care. Let him have it all. My king has returned, and that's worth everything to me. That was his attitude. The guy is unbelievable. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Flip over there. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. He's like, you know what? Let him have it all. Let him have the land. Let him have the house. Let him have the crops. Let him have the keys to the car. I don't care. Listen, as long as my king is back on the throne where he ought to be, that's all that matters to me. I'm just longing to have the king come. And that was what meant the most to Mephibosheth. You know what that teaches me? In your handout, it says we should be looking for and longing to see our Savior. You know, there's a verse there in your handout that I want you to look at. 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, Paul said, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Look at this. Not to me only, but unto all them also that what? Love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip or anything. I'm trying to make you think. But when's the last time you woke up in the morning and thought, this may be the day Jesus returns? This may be the last time I ever wake up, because Jesus may come back. When's the last time you were riding down the road and you looked at the beautiful blue sky and you looked at it and thought, wow, I may be up there today. Christ may return today. You see, the king's return affected Mephibosheth's daily life. And our longing and our anticipation for Christ's return, that ought to affect our daily lives. Folks, listen, we get so wrapped up in the things of the earth. We get so wrapped up in the bills. We get so wrapped up in where we got to go and what time is it. And I know we got to do all that. But we get so wrapped up in the things of the earth that we can easily lose sight of the fact that it could all end in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It could all end. And we're going to kiss goodbye the house, kiss goodbye the car, kiss goodbye the closet full of clothes and shoes. It's all going to be left behind. And I think that so often we get so consumed with everything down here that you know what we begin to do? We begin to become consumed with what God can do for us materially. And we start thinking that that's the primary thing on God's mind, is how He can bless us materially, how He can give us more stuff, and how God, you know, can do this for me and do that for me. And we get to thinking that that's the main thing on God's mind, is how He can just make me more comfortable. But like Mephibosheth, he understood, man, that's not what it's all about. It's not about that. It's not about what God can do for me materially. No, I need to every single day be looking for and anticipating the return of the king, just like Mephibosheth was. Let me ask you something. Do you believe if you every single day lived in anticipation of His return, do you believe that would affect your daily life? I think it would. I think it would affect our priorities. You know, ladies, you may just think, well, you know what? More than I need that dress there and another dress in the closet, man, maybe I could give that money to the cause of Christ. Do some, you know, use that to get a soul saved, you know, and use that for Jesus. I think it would affect our daily life if we thought more about the return of Christ. In verse 28, I want you to look at that with me. Chapter 19, verse 28. This is the last verse we'll look at. And I think I'm going to finish this up tonight. I'm going to give you the last point, and we're going to talk about when Christ comes back down to the earth, how will that affect planet Earth as it is now? We're going to look at that tonight, and I'm going to teach you that. Look at verse 28. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? I love this guy. He says, David, he said, man, if it wasn't for you, me and my whole family, we'd be dead men. He said, who am I to try to claim any rights? Let Ziba have it all. I don't care. He said, man, I'm just so thankful for the grace and the mercy that the king has extended to me. I'm so thankful for the deliverance, David, that you have provided for me and my family. David, listen, I don't care what I have. I don't care what possessions I get to keep. Man, all I want is I just long to be with you, David, and that ought to be our heart. Jesus, it's not about what you can do for me right now. I just want to be with you, Jesus, and that's enough. That's enough. There's a verse here on the screen. I'll bring it up. It says, set your affections on things. Say with me, on things above. Not on things on the earth. And then look at this. When Christ, who is our life, shall what? Appear. Then shall ye also appear. And I love those next two words. With him in glory. Hey. When Christ comes back at that secret coming called the rapture, He doesn't send an angel to get us. You hear songs about, oh, God send Gabriel to toot his bugle. When Jesus comes back for us, He doesn't send Gabriel to toot his bugle. When Jesus comes back for us, He doesn't send Moses or Daniel or David or Peter or Paul to fetch us up. When it's time for us to go up, He makes a personal appearance in the clouds. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He comes Himself to get us. Are you living in anticipation of His coming? The message today has a twofold application. Some of you that aren't saved yet, you've never humbled yourself in repentance before the Lord and accepted Christ, you need to be like Shimeah if you want to be ready for His return. Some of you that are already saved, you need to be like Mephibosheth and live in anticipation of His coming. Tonight, we'll look at one final man in this chapter, and like I said, we'll discuss what's going to happen on the earth when Christ does return down to the earth after we're caught up. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I hope you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock as we finish this up.